Peter Solomon, you're tuned to the morning show on Minnesota's Jazz Station 88.5. Tony Bailiff has joined me in the studio this morning. It is amazing, but it's once again time for the Jazz Age Rumpus. Coming up on Sunday the 22nd, the Southside Aces, which is the local trad band that Tony runs, is going to be performing at the Hook and Ladder. They're going to be focusing on the music of the pioneering New Orleans clarinetist and saxophonist Sidney Bechet, including some of the music that he played with cornetist Muggsy Spanier, and we'll talk about him in a few minutes. We also have a new recording that comes to us from the Southside Aces that Tony's going to give us a preview of as well. First of all, Tony, tell me how's it going and why Sidney Bechet?
Well, thanks a lot for having me. This it's Sidney Bechet. It's Jazz Age Rumpus season, and Sidney Bechet is happening this year. My mentor, Henry Blackburn, who taught all of us up here about the music of Sidney Bechet, he celebrated a birthday, his 100th birthday last year. We played a concert for him, and he said after the concert, "You guys need to record that." And we were already going to be going into the studio for an album that's coming out later in the summer. And we said, well, Henry told us to record that, so we better record it. And so now we have a Sidney Bechet album.
So just for people that aren't familiar with him, what is Henry Blackburn's significance?
He is actually known as an epidemiologist. He's pretty famous for that, and he plays clarinet and soprano saxophone, and he really loves the music of Sidney Bechet, and he just instilled that love in all of us.
So for the person who's not familiar with Sidney Bechet, can you talk about his significance?
Yes. Sidney Bechet is widely considered by people who write about jazz to be kind of the only true rival to Louis Armstrong in terms of someone who comes out of New Orleans and just the incredible impact they have on improvised jazz in the 20s and the 30s and on. Just an incredibly unique talent. And he just was a fiery player and a fiery personality.
I want to talk a little bit about that. I mean, first of all, the striking aspects of his playing, you kind of have to get past the vibrato. It's a very wide vibrato, a little bit of an earlier jazz fashion to that. But once you do, it's incredibly fiery performances. He's also a virtuoso. He's an incredible clarinetist, and he also favored the soprano saxophone. That wasn't a very common thing.
No, he was a clarinetist all the way up until the age of 23. And this is he was born in 1897. In 1920, he's in England, and he's working in a large orchestra, and he and a friend were just walking down the street, and they come upon this music store, Lafleur's music store, and they see a soprano sax in the window, and he apparently goes inside, and he plays the tune Whispering, which was a big hit right at that moment, for several minutes, and then he buys it. And Sidney loved the soprano. He loved the soprano saxophone because in terms of its volume and dynamics, it could compete with the brass instruments in a band. And in terms of that vibrato that you mentioned, he loved the operatic tenors of the day. And those tenors had that same kind of wide vibrato. And he felt that that's how you command the attention of an audience. You just go after that incredible, dramatic vibrato. Qui me crie, savez-moi de la mort qui m'attend. Je suis heureux et je tiens à la vie. So he had also kind of a wild side to his personality. Can you talk a little bit about that aspect of Sidney Bechet? Well, the thing that he's just intensely competitive. You know, for instance, he, in the Depression, and they're in Harlem, he and Tommy Ladner, the cornetist, opened up a tailor shop because Sidney was really good at tailoring. They would have jam sessions there where Sidney would cook up all these different Creole dishes. And a trombonist of the time who made it to some of those jam sessions would say he didn't want to hear anybody talking about any other New Orleans guy who could cook, because he wanted to be the best cook.
Hold tight, hold tight, hold tight, hold tight. Fluji Nagasaki wants the seafood, mama. Shrimp and rice, live every night.
He wanted to be the best Creole cook, and he apparently was really great. And the same thing just goes on to the bandstand. He would just vanquish anybody on a bandstand. And at the same time, you know, he would extol the virtues of ensemble playing and how it was great when all the horn players were working together. But if anyone worked together a little bit too, with a little too much talent, he would go after them. It's just these contradictions in the man were really interesting. And I love his playing, but I'm sort of glad that I never had to be in a band with him.
I'm Peter Solomon. It's the morning show on Minnesota's Jazz Station, 88.5. Today I'm speaking with clarinetist Tony Bailiff of the Southside Aces. Jazz Age Rumpus 5 is just around the corner. In fact, it's coming up Sunday the 22nd at the Hook and Ladder Theater. The program this weekend will be dedicated to the music of Sidney Bechet, with performances by the Southside Aces and the Boat Note 5, saxophonist Sam Skavnak, guitarist Sam Milich, and his father bassist Matthew Milich as well. The Southside Aces are also releasing a brand new recording dedicated to Bechet's music called Les Oignons. Let's talk about the programming that you're going to play. What's the repertoire that you're going to be doing?
We're going to cover three main areas. The Southside Aces and the CD that we're releasing is mostly almost all the songs on that, and what we'll be presenting that day are songs from his era of the 1950s, 1949 all the way through to the end of his life, that last decade of his life, where he was this incredible French star. You know, he lived in France most of that time, and he wrote music that was just really sort of grand, and he played a lot with Claude Luther, the French clarinetist, and his orchestra. And so we're playing a lot of that music, you know, songs like Si tu vois ma mère, and the title track, which was a huge hit for Sidney Bechet, Les Oignons. The second set is going to be Sidney did this incredible quartet, these eight sides, with a quartet with Muggsy Spanier, the cornetist, Carmen Mastrin, the guitarist, and Wellman Brode, the string bass. It's just light. It's one of the only examples of him in this kind of a small configuration. And it's just really light and incredibly swinging, and they just really worked together well. So we have guitar virtuoso Sam Milich coming down from the Iron Range with his father, the bassist Matthew, and they're going to work with Dan Eichmeyer on cornet, who's Ace's trumpeter, and with Sam Skavnak on soprano saxophone. And so it's just going to be those four presenting that.
Cornetist Muggsy Spanier. This is another like really compelling figure. His use of mutes is very much influenced and inspired by King Oliver. And you can watch him and listen to him talk on a Ralph Gleason program called Jazz Casual. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, you should check that out. But tell me about Muggsy Spanier and why he complimented Sidney Bechet.
Well, that's, you know, as mentioned earlier, that Sidney was intensely competitive. And it was always, you know, when he was paired up with a cornetist or a trumpeter, it was always interesting to see, could this person play hot enough that Sidney liked him and wanted to play with them, but could he compliment Sidney in such a way, in the way he played with him, that Sidney didn't get too perturbed and want to destroy him on the bandstand or in the studio. And there's this line that happens. And for some reason, Muggsy Spanier, on those eight sides that he did with Sidney, he plays hot, and he also plays in an ensemble way that just made Sidney go into some special place that you really don't hear on too many other records, where they really worked together. Carmen Mastrin, who was a guitarist who was kind of known more for playing in big bands at that time, he described the scene as, you know, he's used to coming into studios and there's the producer saying, all right, here's the, you know, giving a speech to sort of rally the troops. And he said this was totally different, where Sidney and Wellman Broad, two New Orleans guys, they came in and sat down on chairs just knee to knee and just started talking about the old days and just started talking. And then Muggsy had the same temperament and just, he was warming up and he sat down with those guys. And Carmen Mastrin said it was just this sort of spirit of, oh, we're all together and we're all going to just play some good music together. And then Carmen said, and then bam, I was surrounded by all these sounds, all this music. So there's something in Muggsy's temperament that really brought out something great in Sidney on those two dates. And then in the last set, we are going to present what some historians call the jazz battles of Louis Armstrong and Sidney Bechet. You could sort of put quotations around the word collaborations, but just incredible recordings that they made both in the early 20s with Clarence Williams, and then they also did a 1940 recording that reprised a couple of those songs and plus a few others. And they're some of my favorite recordings in jazz when those two were working together. And so it's the Boat Note 5, which is Louis Armstrong band. It has piano and bass, pianist Rick Carlson and Josh Kronowski on bass with Dan Eichmeyer again on trumpet. He's working hard that day. Dan Eichmeyer on trumpet, me on clarinet, and Sam Skavnak on soprano with our drummer Dave Michael. And we're just going to go after it, including the song Mandy Make Up Your Mind.
Now, there was an unusual instrument. This is a tune that Louis Armstrong and Sidney Bechet recorded, 1925?
Yes, I think.
And the weird thing about it is the choice of instrument. Talk about the sarrusophone.
The sarrusophone. It's this mysterious instrument that pretty much made its appearance in the first part of the 20th century, and then it faded away. Not too many people own a sarrusophone these days. Not too many people owned one then. It's this instrument that it has a sound kind of like a cross between a bass saxophone and a contrabass bassoon. It's a double reed, and for some reason Sidney Bechet had his hands on one in the studio that day, and he plays soprano a little bit on that track, but then he picks up the sarrusophone and you hear this unreal sort of low penetrating miasma of sound come out of him, and he takes a solo on the sarrusophone. Well, our soprano saxophonist Sam Skavnak, he owns a sarrusophone, and he will be wielding it that day.
That's dedication right
yeah.
there. Tell me about the CD. Tell me a little bit about the highlights of the album and what you really like about this new session, Les Oignons.
We have 10 tracks. Eight of them are, as I mentioned before, from that era from about 1949 to 1959 when Sidney was in the height of his composing and or appropriating songs. You know, he has a few songs that he claims authorship for, but that weren't his. But it just the way he played them, he made them his. And I'm sure that he didn't think of it as I'm being a thief. He just thought of it as this is my song, you know. But so they have a lot of those have the French titles. But we also picked two songs from the earlier part of his career. We did Kansas City Man Blues, which was on the first record that we ever hear Sidney from 1923 in the Clarence Williams Blue Five. And then we also picked Joshua Fit the Battle. Which is this incredible swinging song that he recorded in 1949, I believe. And that one had Wild Bill Davison on cornet and had Walter Page on bass. And it's just this incredible, great recording. We love playing it. So we put those two on it. So it's a lot of his French era, mostly, with a couple of old ones thrown in.
Do you play any soprano on the recording?
I don't, but we do have Sam Skavnak, a special guest, on a couple of them. He's on Kansas City Man Blues, and he also plays Premier Ball, one of the Sidney tunes. And then we have our dear mentor, Henry Blackburn. He came in, climbed those 27 stairs up into the studio. He said he'd be fine. He didn't need an elevator. He's 100 years old, and he went up there and he recorded Sobbing and Crying with us, both of us on clarinet. So.
The Southside Aces, their new album is Les Oignons, am I saying it right?
Yeah.
And the Jazz Age Rumpus 5, focusing on the music of Sidney Bechet, is happening at the Hook and Ladder from 3 to 7 p.m. And if you want more information, what's the Southside Aces website?
SouthsideAces.com. And you can also, the best way, the quickest way, is just go to Hook and Ladder Theater.
It's the hookmpls.com/event?
Yes.
Okay, and search for it there. Thanks so much for coming in, Tony.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely.